In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sinful man changes reality. Adam and Eve did it, the Pharisees did it, and sadly many churches today do it as well. Sinful man changes reality so he looks like a good person. God's law clearly states what is right and true and good. But fallen man quickly sets it aside to adopt false truths conceived by his own mind. By this he lives. So he is kind and compassionate and caring and helpful and will even say that he has done many things for people without ever wanting anything in return. In his mind, he is good. But these fictitious realities are never enough, at least not before God. Man's reality says that he will make it to a better place because he has been a good person, while God's reality says all his works were worthless and wicked. And in fact, every desire of his heart was only evil all the time. So he deserves death. Your flesh is no different. That sinful flesh that you still battle with, it believes that you are truly a good person. Yes, perhaps you need to be steered in the right direction or need a little instruction here and there, but overall, you are good. You're kind, loving, and helpful, and you also do things for people without ever wanting anything in return. Add to all of this the fact that you are a Christian and your sinful flesh goes on a field day. It hijacks what you are. It hijacks the good works that you do to make them into something that they really are not, something that pleases God and earns his favor. And so reality shifts. This is common even for us today. If you think I'm a little bit off base, then I simply ask you, are you a murderer or not? You're quick to answer, no, I've never taken someone's life. But if you stop there, you have changed reality. You are judging yourself based on what the United States deems as a murderer, and certainly by their laws you are not. But then again, they are not your judge on the last day. And really, their laws only pertain to your hands, at best. And yet God the Lord says, you shall not murder. And you are far more than a pair of hands. So you are not to murder with your hands, or with your eyes, or your heart, or your mind, or your lips. So if you call your brother a fool or an idiot, whether they deserve it or not is irrelevant. If you call them an idiot, then you will be subject to the fires of hell. And if you hate your brother or grow angry with someone else, well, again, whether they deserve it or not is completely irrelevant. If you get angry with someone else, then you also will be subject to the Lord's judgment. For anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life with Christ. So do not judge yourself by these realities that you create. Do not judge yourself even by your country's standard of what is good and right, but solely by the word of God. So again, I ask, are you a murderer or not? And this is not the only commandment that applies, but you are also the liar, bending the truth at times to suit your own realities. You are the thief, not putting in a full hard day's work, and yet still demanding a full day's paycheck. You are the adulterer, allowing your eyes to wander and your hearts to dance. You are the rebel, disrespecting authority simply because it's your constitutional right. You are the despiser of God's word, at times out and out neglecting it in favor of something else, at other times simply looking around to see what others are wearing or what the kids are up to. You are the blasphemer of God's holy name, using it to your own advantage. You are also, yes, even the idolater, setting up another God in your own heart, a God who creates a reality where you truly are a good person and have done enough. Again, if you think I'm being too harsh, then I simply ask you, have you sinned? For sin is nothing else than rebellion against your God, following a different set of commandments. and crafting your own God, even as Adam did. Reality is hard to swallow, so it's no wonder that so many change it. How heavy God's law is for us fallen creatures. How unbearable for us sinners. The most basic commandment that we think we have kept since childhood, you shall not murder, just reveals how deep our sin goes. You have no righteousness according to the law. You have no salvation from what you do, even now as a Christian. All your righteous acts are nothing more than filthy rags. Your good works still corrupted and stained with sin. So if you think you have done something great and noble that pleases God above all else, understand that your sinful flesh convincing you that you have now finally done enough. The reality is that you deserve hell for all of this, for you still don't do enough good. In yourself, you have nothing that pleases God, so does it really matter if you are better than criminals and terrorists? According to our country's laws, you would be deemed a good person. Does it really matter if you are better than most people out there, which really is not all that hard? Again, that would be your own reality saying that you are good. But you have not lived up to God's standard, and He is your judge. So if you think that God is pleased with you and that somehow you have earned His favor by doing what is right and refraining from what is wrong, that is, if you think that you are justified by your works, then the harsh reality is you will find yourself separated from this God for all eternity. Yet the reality also is that this God is your Savior. The law is good. It's not the law's fault that we sin, it's our fault. We are the sinners. And so Christ came not to abolish the law and set up some new rituals and laws for us to follow, but He came to fulfill the law for us. His heart never harbored hatred. His tongue never lashed out. Anger never dwelt in Him, but He had compassion on all who came to Him. He ate with Pharisees, tax collectors, and prostitutes. He loved them all and healed all who came to Him in their need. So the law finds its fulfillment in Christ. Those Ten Commandments that you heard read in the first reading are simply a perfect description of who Christ is and how He lived for you. Not only outwardly, but also inwardly. And so in Him there is righteousness, in Him there is holiness, in Him there is the perfection that God demands yet you and I could never attain. He is the very embodiment of what is good, and the only one who deserves to be called good. So here, dear Christian, is your righteousness in Christ. Here is your holiness, your perfection, and yes, even your glory found in Christ and in Christ alone. For all the works that Christ did throughout His life, all of them, are now counted to you through faith, as if you yourself have done them. But He still had to take away your failures, so here too is the reality that God became sin for you. That God became the murderer so you Barabbases might go free. God became the liar, the thief, the adulterer, the rebel, the despiser of His word, the blasphemer of God's holy name, and yes, God even became the idolatrous pagan so we might be spared from the eternal wages we've earned. Man must die. God's forgiveness is not simply ignoring what we have done. So Christ, the perfect Lamb, died in your place. And now God can forgive, for the law's harsh demands have been met. Nothing more can be required by God from you. God can't demand anything else from you. Even the law can no longer accuse you, but you delight in its commands. For Christ has done it all for you. And all this came to you in the waters of holy baptism. It had to come from outside of you, for there was not even one spark of goodness in your heart. It had to come from outside of you, for there was nothing worth saving in you, so you died in that font. You were drowned and buried with Christ. It all comes from outside of you because it is solely the work of Christ for you. and now you please God. Because of this righteousness God has given to you, you are now pleasing and holy and righteous before God. For this alone grants you entrance into heaven. So faith clings to this righteousness of Christ, to this and to this alone. Faith holds to Christ and to Christ alone. He is everything for you, and in Him you are now everything. So here is the reality, and don't diminish this. Here is the reality that you are to hold fast to. You have a righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. It is the righteousness of Christ given to you in baptism through faith. And while you still see that sinful flesh living inside of you, leading you to anger, lust, laziness, among other things, that is not who you are. You are God's holy saint, washed in the blood of Christ, redeemed by God Himself, perfect and righteous, free from sin, and saved from eternal death and hell. How? How can you have all these things? Not by your works. Not because you've tried so hard and worked strenuously to improve your life or yourself. But solely because of Christ. Solely by Him and His work for you. So this is a most beautiful reality. That you are righteous in Christ. And a reality that you will enjoy and see forever in the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.